We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, obviously disappointing. Had a chance to win it in the end and overcome a lot of our sloppiness, our two turnovers, our drop, opportunity for a touchdown, our penalties, and with all that. But our kids played hard and battled back with an opportunity to kick the field goal and win. And, we just didn't make that happen. But we put ourselves in that situation with too many sloppy penalties and turnovers. And as I said, That's just not on the road. You can't do that. We did that. Proud of the way our kids fought and battled. Their resiliency, their toughness really showed. But, we didn't get it done in the end.
All right. What's up, guys? We're back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast presented by Chevalier Mortgage. I'm Justin Michael. That was Steve Addazio's introductory statement following last night's just really disappointing loss to Utah State. You know, as he addressed a lot of sloppy penalties, and he talked about that a lot in the post-game session. I mean, just repeatedly jumping off sides. It was pretty frustrating to watch. He had a couple of turnovers, which is something they'd been really good about in the last couple of weeks. But even in spite of it all, they had an opportunity to win. Should have won. Just craziness, man. After rewatching the whole thing today, it was painful to do. Based on what I think happened, I think it looks like the offense is lining up. They're all set to spike. Some of the specialists run on, and then all of a sudden you see Centeio and the rest of the guys be like, oh crap, we must be going, hurry here. And chaos just kind of broke out. They ended up rushing the field goal attempt, still got it off, but rushed it. Camper pulls it left, and it's a shame because 11 seconds with the clock stoppage on the first down, that is an eternity of time. It's plenty of time to execute. And CSU kind of botched it. I didn't really talk about this on DNVR Rams late night, but after going back and kind of re-listening to the whole post-game thing after re-watching it, I do feel like Steve Addazio threw his players under the bus pretty intensely after that one. I'm not trying to like rip him. I am, being critical, but I do think it was probably just his honest assessment of what happened, and I get that. I mean, all the time we complain when coaches, dance around things or don't give their honest opinion. I do think he did that, and so I get it. But as the leader of the team, I do think you kind of have to fall on the sword there and just kind of assume all the responsibility and just kind of take all of it. I mean, it is your program. You're the head coach. It's your decision-making, and on top of that, you're more involved in special teams than most head coaches are. You lost not only because of special teams. I mean, again, too many penalties, turnovers, all that. But it really came down to the pooch kick at the end of the first half, which was a bad bounce. So, I'm not going to completely, crucify them for that. It was just a weird play. But they did mess it up. They hesitated, had a chance to recover, kind of hesitated. Utah State gets another field goal there. And then, obviously, the end of the game. So I just kind of feel like Addazio should have fallen on the sword a little bit more for his players there. Didn't like how he handled that. But I'm going to get into all of my takeaways from this game and then just talk about the Mountain West implications, because CSU, if they beat Utah State, they would have a two-game lead in the Mountain Division after Air Force fell to San Diego State tonight. Man, it's going to sting for a while. Rams really had an opportunity here and they missed it. Before we get into some of the takeaways, I do want to shout out our presenting sponsor, Chevalier Mortgage, who is just so clutch all the time. And, something to keep in mind for our homeowners, With the prices going up, it's creating natural equity in your home. If you have mortgage insurance, chances are you can refinance out of that, make the bubble work for you. If you're in the buyer's market, you know how stressful it is trying to buy a home right now. The market in Colorado is just crazy. Let Mike and Virginia Chevalier take the burden off this extremely difficult process. They're going to alleviate so much stress. Just take some of that worry off your plate. Their ultimate goal is to take the stress out of buying and refinancing. They strive to give their borrowers options with their full financial picture in mind, with the highest level of integrity, always putting their borrowers first. They're extremely transparent. You know, they want their customers to know who they're working with, not feel bounced around. And they actually have a fun perk for DNVR listeners. If you visit them at dnvrmortgage.com, you can enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice. Most importantly, get set up with a free consultation to discuss all your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. You can also call Mike directly at 970-412-2472. Or again, visit dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS number 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS number 1910631.
Hey, Steve, this is Mike. Could you talk a little bit about the confusion at the end as you had, it seemed like your offense was still on the field?
Yeah. So all we wanted to do was spike the ball, but we had to have the fast field goal team ready because if the ball had we not had a first down and didn't have a chance to get up and spike the ball, we had to have a fast field goal ready. So we had fast field goal ready down by where the ball was. And the guys took off onto the field, the fast field goal team. You know, they weren't sent, but they went. And it created that confusion at the end, which is just a shame. But we really got set up, and then it wasn't like we weren't set up to kick the field goal. So, we were set up to kick the field goal, and we just didn't strike it. But that's what happened at the end there. No one sent them in, but they took off on the field. We work on that play but situationally, but that wasn't the situation for it. It could have been. That's why we had it ready, but it wasn't the situation. We could have spiked it and then gone on the field and kicked it without as much chaos.
Steve, you were able to get the passing game going late. What do you feel like changed in terms of Senteo kind of getting rolling there in the fourth quarter?
I don't think anything changed. You know, we had some herky jerkiness in the game. I mean, you know, we turned the ball over twice early. We had two series where we fell down. We had another one where we didn't seat the ball coming from the center exchange. And then, so we lost yards. So anytime you're in drives where you're, you know, we had three drives in which we, you know, had negative yardage plays that got us off schedule. Because really, I think right from the beginning, we went into halftime. We had over 225 yards of offense. And we were rushing the ball for over 5.7 yards a carry. So, I mean, it wasn't like we weren't moving a ball, but we disrupted our drives. And that's what happened in the first half. We felt very confident. I mean, we could move the ball very well. On defense, we were making some really good plays. But, you know, we really hurt ourselves by going offsides. And those offside penalties were leading to those vertical balls down the field, of which one of them, I believe at least one of them, resulted in a touchdown. And those are just foolish, dumb errors. And we made them. And then we had a roughing the quarterback penalty. So we had the offside penalty, roughing the quarterback. We just had a lot of penalties. And we had a bunch of pass interference penalties, which to me, our guys were going up competing for the ball, but they weren't seen that way. So, I think what I'm telling you is on offense, we got off schedule a little bit, not because we couldn't move the ball. And then on defense, we let them stay on the field, which we said we couldn't with foolish penalties. And then they chewed a bunch of clock on us. So like in the third quarter, that hurt us. We had we also had a wide open touchdown pass. That was a beautiful ball Toddy made, and we didn't make the catch. That would have been a touchdown in the third period. So, we had our opportunities, and we made a lot of plays, but too many mistakes.
Steve, to circle back to the field goal attempt there at the end, just on the logistics of it. So is there a coach that's supposed to be, basically signal on if you need the fast field goal unit? And obviously that, didn't happen because the first down and the guys just kind of overrode that and just ran on. That's what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say to you that they got caught up in the emotion of the game and took off on the field. And I'm telling you, that's what I think. I can't tell you for sure because, you know, obviously I'm like, who sent them on? And no one sent them on. So, it just happened, which means that it's my responsibility because that can't happen, but it did happen. And, so I'll take the responsibility for that. Having said that, we were perfectly set up, ready to kick the field goal. So, I don't believe that had any impact on that field goal whatsoever. So it just, whether we spiked it and kicked it or we did what we did, that's what happened. But we had a clean setup, a good snap and a clean swipe at it. Just didn't come together. I mean, you know, I'm moving on from that one. I'm more interested in the fact that we got the ball down there and competed our tail off and put ourselves in position to win the game.
All right, that was Steve Addazio post game. A lot of deflecting, in my opinion, you know, especially when special teams falls under your leadership, but not going to go on and on about that. I already kind of said my piece on the situation, so going to kind of dive into some of the other takeaways from Friday night. And obviously, you know, it starts with the defense, who they were tremendous. I mean, they 20 points allowed in the second quarter, but six in the other three. The penalties were brutal. I mean, jumping off sides repeatedly was pretty frustrating. And I'll play some audio from Toby McBride later on that. Obviously, the pass interference calls were tough. I felt like Utah State got away with offensive pass interference, and CSU got called for quite a few ticky-tack ones. It is what it is on that one. I mean, you still had a chance to win even in spite of it. They really, in the second half, were just so dominant. Eight sacks in this one from seven different individuals. You get 29 combined tackles out of Cameron Carter and DaQuan Jackson. And, you know, DJ has been a stud all night. He had 15 tonight, 14 from Carter. He also had a sack. He also had an interception. He also had another pass breakup. I mean, he was balling. He was my DraftKings king of the game. But it was just a really solid night for a variety of different guys. I mean, Henry Blackburn had eight tackles. I felt like this was Manny Jones' best game of the season. He always seems to perform well in Logan. Eight tackles tonight, 1.5 sacks, two tackles for loss. He was a wrecking crew in this one. Mo Kamara had another game. They were really talking him up on the broadcast, and it kind of feels like they realized a couple of minutes in, oh, this dude has 5.5 sacks. We should probably have known who he was. And then they kept talking about him all night, even though some of the other guys were playing a little bit better. But they were all solid. You know, he was great. Toby, Patchen. Patch got banged up a little bit at one point, so we'll kind of have to keep an eye on that. But it was just such an admirable performance from the defense, and you really have to respect the grit and the resilience that they played with. They got CSU the ball back when they desperately needed it. You know, CSU, they had a chance to win this one. Unfortunate it played out the way that it did. Definitely going to be one that comes back to haunt you probably in the division standings. I mean, you win that game, you control your own fate with an opportunity to be the driver, you know, in the Mountain Division. You still have an opportunity now. I mean, if you lose to Boise State, your chances of winning the Mountain Division go down drastically, but wouldn't be impossible, I guess, technically. We'll get into all that in a sec. I do want to play the post-game audio from Toby McBride. Just before we get into that, though, I do also want to briefly talk about the offense. They ran the ball down their throats. I mean, David Bailey was awesome in this. The offensive line, Barry Wesley, Mike Chiafani, who is a dude that was on offense, got moved to defense, moved back to offense, has been able to step up for this program in a major way. They really needed him. He's been great for them. You know, on top of that, though, I think it was a pretty good game from Todd Senteo. They struggled to get the passing game going early. He did miss a couple of open guys. But in the third quarter, I mean, EJ Scott dropped what should have been a walk-in touchdown. It hit him right in the hands. Kind of looked like he outran the ball. It was a weird situation. It's unfortunate. But in the fourth quarter, when they went tempo and they had to spread things out, he was awesome. And that's a theme we've seen. When CSU's had to spread it out and go tempo and, you know, stretch the field, Senteo's been really good in those scenarios. I'd like to see CSU run more of that. And I actually intend to ask Addazio about that. You know, like, I know that you have been effective in the passing game in other ways, and they run a lot of different personnel. I mean, it's not a situation where they're just in one offense all the time. It's very NFL-like. You know, it's a pro-style system in that regard. They switch it up. They're under center. They're in the gun. You know, they're at a 12 personnel, 13, they had a four tight end set this past week. They do a lot of different shit, and that's great. But when you think about the inconsistency as a whole of the passing game and just, you know, not really being able to connect on some of those explosives, and then you see the way that they're able to move the ball when they go spread, why don't you do a little bit more of that? It's not like you have to go away from the run game or anything like that. And Bailey's shown he can run the ball out of the gun on some of those sweeps, especially to the left. I mean, he was getting 7-8 yards upfield around the corner even before he was being touched. So I want to see more of that. I think it gives the Rams a better opportunity to challenge the defense. It's not that you can't win playing bully ball, but I just think you need to occasionally put yourself in an advantageous situation to take advantage of the rules, which obviously they favor the offense. Like, we saw Utah State draw a couple of ticky-tacky PI calls just by kind of throwing 50-50 balls. You know, you always have an opportunity to do that. I don't know. I want to see more of it, because I do think Senteo has been much improved. He did have an interception, and it was a bad throw, but also I'm pretty sure that Cameron Butler stopped running the route. So, you know, like, it is what it is. Overall, Senteo's been really good when it comes to his decision making. And in the last 5 minutes of that Utah State game, he was awesome. I mean, that drive, it was just quick strike to Dante Wright, quick strike. All of a sudden, Gary Williams catches a 40-yard touchdown. You're like, well, that's crazy. All right, the Rams are back in it. They get the ball back. No timeouts. What's he do? Gets him right in field goal position. They did everything right, you know, leading all the way up to the end where they did everything wrong in the last play. And it sucks, because this would have been, I wouldn't say it'd be the best comeback in CSU football history, because there have been some pretty crazy ones. And for me, at least, nothing is going to top the New Mexico Bowl, because that's just the craziest football game I've ever seen. But it definitely would have been like a top 10, top five comeback in CSU football history. And they should have won. They should have won. Like, does anybody think Camper's missing that field goal if he gets to do it at a normal pace? I don't. The dude's been clutch as hell. So it's just unfortunate that it came down to that, and the chaos and how it all played out. It really sucks, because, you know, it was such an admirable effort from the Rams. And I do think, like, if there's anything you can guarantee about this team, it's that they're just going to keep fighting. Like, they don't ever fold, and that's really admirable. And I think it's going to pay dividends down the stretch. I still very much feel like this is a bowl team. I honestly think they have a good chance to beat Boise State, Air Force, and Wyoming. Maybe that's wishful thinking. And again, especially with Boise, until you do it, like, I'm not going to, you know, until you do it, there's always going to be room for skepticism, but I think they match up well with them. I think they're going to punch back in a way that, you know, some other CSU teams probably would have laid down. And honestly, though, as a whole, like, the CSU Boise series last year was a blowout, but it was kind of fluky because of the three blocked kicks. I mean, that's 21 points. That completely flips everything open. Really, though, like, going back to 2016, and I'd honestly even say like 2014, it's for the most part been a competitive game on a year-to-year basis. All right, we're going to talk about the implications, what happened in the rest of the Mountain West. Before we do, though, I want to play that audio of Toby McBride. Also want to shout out the homies over at DraftKings Sportsbook. NFL fans hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple, baby. DraftKings Sportsbook also has a way for existing customers to get some skin in the game with the same game parlays, which allows you to combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DNVR. Bet $5 on any NFL team to win their game. Get $200 in free bets if they win. You win big with the promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. This also feels like a perfect time to shout out Solace Meds, though. You might need something to forget Friday night, or, you know, spooky season, Halloween parties. Solace Meds is the premier dispensary. They're always hooking it up. They have four incredible locations in Colorado, one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one on Broadway, one just blocks away on East Colfax from the DMVR bar. all October long, Dixie Gummies, Solace Bars, Solace Sticks, Mile High Extractions, Summits, and 1906 drops are all 25% off. On the 30th and 31st, the entire store is buy three, get one free. That's awesome. And on the 31st, you get a goodie bag with the purchase of $50 or more. I mean, that's just the stuff they're doing anyways, but if you use the code DNVR20, you get 20% off your entire order. So, I mean, you're literally losing money if you don't go there. But they also hook you up because you get a free Solace bar or King Cone. Again, all you got to do is mention the code DNVR20. Solace Meds makes your cannabis shopping experience a delight. Head to their website, view their menu, order online, pick up at your convenience. Head to solacemeds.com. Order online, purchase there, easy as pie. Make sure you're using that code DNVR20 for 20% off your entire order at Solace Meds. All right, here's that audio from Toby McBride kind of talking about the penalties and the chaos of the moment. You know, he couldn't really speak to what happened, but after that, we'll just kind of wrap up with some final thoughts on the Mountain West and everything that happened on Saturday.
Hey, Toby, this is Mike Brohart.
Hi.
How tough emotionally is that finish, considering the way that the defense played the majority of that game?
It was definitely heartbreaking, especially with how the defense played. We played well in some areas, but had a lot of penalties in the others. So to have that much defensive play in the game and have that much control over the game and not come out with a win is something that our defense isn't looking to do. If we're on the field that much, we should have complete control of the game, not have any penalties, be able to hold the offense to minimal yards and come out better than we did.
Do you feel the mood of the game changed into the first half, beginning of the second half? They had the ball for basically 10 and a half minutes, and ended up getting three field goals out of that and created that margin.
I would just say when we went into halftime, we made some adjustments, got real fired up, ready to play. So I would say the mood changed more just on our side. We worry about us, control what we can control. Came out more fired up, ready to play. We played well in the second half, but still had some same penalties. That third quarter, we eliminated the offsides, but then it came back again in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure why, but I think every single one of the guys on the defensive line, including myself, had one of those offensive size penalties. So we just got to get that fixed.
Toby, can you just kind of take us through your vantage point there? What kind of happened on that last play? Did it just seem like there was confusion and what the special teams unit was trying to do? Adavio, you know, mentioned if, you know, they got the first down, you obviously didn't need the speed unit there, but it just kind of seemed like there was chaos and confusion.
Yeah, it was a loud stadium to play in, a lot of emotions running around, making that big drive at the very end. I'm not a big special teams guy. I'm not sure when they are supposed to go out. I just saw them run out on the field. I don't know who sent them out. They just ran out. I don't know the special teams calls. I don't call them. I don't sit on the special teams meeting, so I'm not real sure. I don't have much to say about that.
You know, as one of the leaders in this team, how do you guys put this behind you? Because obviously, you know, you can't really let this loss compound the season. You got a massive game coming up against Boise State.
Yeah, we'll take it in for what it is. It was a loss, but there's spurts of good things. Move on to next week, because what we've seen already in college football is it's week to week. If you hang on to last week too much, you're going to get beat. And if you think that you're moving on, you got to you're rolling and everyone's going to lay down and die and you're going to win every game, it's not going to happen. So it's week to week in college football. We're moving on to Boise State now. We're going to be at home, so we got a big game. We match up well with Boise State, in my opinion, so I'm looking forward to it, and I know all the rest of the guys are ready to get back on the field and make these changes, make these adjustments, and show what kind of real ball we can do.
Trey, can you comment on what happened on the field goal at the end of the game?
Yeah, we knew we didn't have any timeouts. We had less than a minute to go. We knew we had to get down the field, and we knew we had to get inside the 40-yard line for Caden to have a chance at the field goal. We did exactly that. I thought we were going to clock the, we had, I think, 10 seconds left on the clock, and I thought, I thought we were going to spike the ball and then bring the field goal team out. And, I was lined up to spike the ball, and then I saw guys running out, and I sprinted off the field. They threw put the field goal team on. I'm not entirely sure if that was supposed to be or not. But it doesn't matter. We had a chance to win that game at the very end, and we came up short.
heartbreaking finish, but what can you say about that final drive? You had 44 seconds left and you gave yourself a chance.
You know, I'm really proud of, that, you know, Dante had a couple of really good catches. He's a great player. He's a guy that we definitely miss. And he came in big at the end. Todd threw the ball well at the end. And I think it was really well executed, in my opinion. You know, that's hard to do. You have less than a minute, no timeouts. You're running routes across the middle, which doesn't, you know, get you out of bounds. That's hard to do now. And we executed very well. And I think, you know, we could have done a little bit better at that last play. I don't know if we should have spiked it or not. I don't know what the issue was with that. But we still had a chance to win the game at the very end. Just came up a little short.
Trey, what do you feel like changed with the passing offense down the stretch? I mean, I know there were a couple of missed opportunities. EJ had the opportunity to catch the ball in the third quarter. But it seemed like, you know, the passing offense really didn't start clicking consistently until that last quarter.
You know, we were running the ball really well. David Bailey is an unbelievable player for us, and he was running the ball really well. So it was working for us, and that's what we wanted to do. You know, we missed a shot to EJ. We missed a couple shots. We missed one to Ty, but at the end of the day, you know, that wasn't the issue. The issue, you know, we had too many mistakes. We had too many penalties. We had turnovers. But it's also encouraging because we're right there. We had a chance to win the game, and I'm really proud of this team.
You guys have responded, you know, from these types of tough losses, at least in other points this season, coming back from the Vanderbilt game, going on the road, beating Toledo. Now you got a massive home game against Boise State. As one of the leaders in this team, you know, how do you keep this from compounding the season?
You know, we're going to take it in. Like Toby said, we got to evaluate what we did good, what we did bad, but we got to put it behind us. We're going to come in tomorrow. We're going to come in Sunday and we're going to get right back to work. We're going to buckle our helmet up, get back to work, and we're going to have some tough practices, and we're going to have an edge on our, you know, edge on our shoulder because we want to go beat Boise. It's something our program's never done, and that's going to change this week.
All right, that was Trey and Toby McBride post game. Decided to just play both instead of splitting them up. It seemed most natural. I know I didn't really tease Trey before the clip there, but just kind of their perspective on how you don't let it compound, what went wrong in that last minute, everything else. But obviously, you know, they got to put it quickly behind them because you've got a really important matchup coming up against Boise State. The Broncos were on a bye this week, so, you know, they had the benefit of getting some rest and just kind of, you know, scouting the opponent, all of that. You know, I do think the Rams will come out fired up, and they're going to have to. Like I said, this week is really going to be huge for their opportunity to, you know, continue to be a factor in the Mountain Division, because I don't think anybody expected them to be leading the division after the first couple of games. They had that opportunity, man. They had an opportunity to go 3-0. You can't let it compound, though, because that is what happened consistently in the Mike Bobo era. You'd lose a heartbreaker, and then you'd be really sloppy and down the next game, and then you'd lose another heartbreaker, and then the season would just be over. I don't think that's going to be the case with this CSU team. I think they recognize that they're still in it. I think they have too much pride, and just consistently, I mean, the mentality that we've seen from them all year makes me think that, you know, they're going to come out and just battle until the very end. And I hope so, because I do think they're good enough to beat Boise. I think they're good enough to beat Air Force and Wyoming. I mean, yeah, let's just get into it, because the late game was Air Force San Diego State tonight. Defensive showdown, really quality game from San Diego State. They were road dogs in this, and it was an overreaction after kind of a weird game on a fluky late night game against San Jose State last week. And, you know, an empty stadium, basically. 20-14 was the final. I came really close to hitting a huge parlay and needed one more touchdown in this. Really mad at myself, because all week I talked about San Diego State money line. You know, it was dumb. They were dogs. Actually, speaking of DraftKings stuff, I got to give my DraftKings pick of the week real quick. I gave this on DNVR bets yesterday, but I'll just double down on it. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to beat the Chiefs. I don't understand how they're going to stop Derrick Henry. I think he's going to run all over them. I'm sure it'll be a good game, but I don't see anybody stopping Derrick Henry, especially this terrible, terrible Chiefs defense. So I'm going bold. You can get it at plus money, man. They're at home. I love the Titans in this game. I'm all in. That's my DraftKings pick of the week. Getting back on track, though, Wyoming, man, their offense is completely inept. Sean Chambers has been brutal at quarterback. That's a dude that's battled through a bunch of injuries. He's had some great moments as the Pokes with the Pokes. They can't move the ball through the air at all. They can't sustain any type of drive. I thought they would run the football better. I mean, Xavion Valladay is a stud. They haven't got him going. They've gone 10 quarters without scoring an offensive touchdown, guys. Like, Wyoming and Colorado are brutal offensively. Both of them have pretty good defenses and are kind of wasting them. But offensively, they're just inept. And UNM, they decided to go back to the triple option offense, which is just, it's just what they should do. I know, like, coaches get in their pride and they want to be able to run a pro style or a passing offense. They don't have the personnel for it, at least not yet. UNM, they've tripped some teams up. I mean, they beat Boise State with the option approach a couple of years back. Just stick with it. Be weird. Be quirky. It's what Air Force does, and it works for them all the time. I don't understand why they don't do it more. But they got a big-time road win. Good for the Lobos. They definitely needed it. And that's three straight losses for Wyoming. I mean, I talked about it before the season. I talked about it in non-conference play. They were playing a bunch of slapdicks in non-conference play. Excuse my language. I hate that term. But they were playing a bunch of mediocre teams in non-conference play. And, you know, now they're playing the real deal. And it's showing. It's totally showing. I think if you're CSU, you got to feel pretty good about your chances of keeping the bronze boot this year. Obviously, winning in Laramie is never easy, regardless of how the team is doing coming in. But I definitely think CSU is the better team. Looking around the Mountain West, Fresno State, Nevada was probably the game of the night. San Diego State Air Force was great too. But it was just a real treat watching Carson Strong and Jake Haener go at it. Fresno State, man, at home pulled out the big victory, 34-32, barely held on. Nevada actually drove down the field with no timeouts late, very similarly to CSU, and came up just shy. Instead of coming up shy on a field goal, they actually scored a touchdown, but they were down 8. And they couldn't get the 2-point conversion. Threw it to Romeo Dubs, who had like 20 catches in this game. It was absurd. He was out of bounds in the back of the end zone, though. And they fall 34-32. I still think San Diego State is the front runner, but there's got some big, big games coming up between San Diego State, Nevada, Fresno State, and San Diego State. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the West plays out. It's going to be a bloodbath. Thank goodness CSU didn't also have to play Fresno State and San Diego State too, because their schedule is challenging enough. San Jose State narrowly escaped UNLV Friday night. UNLV has 5 losses this year by a single score, and they're just one of the most unlucky teams in the country. I mean, they were up in this one. They can't hold on. They're inexperienced. Marcus Arroyo still winless in his tenure as head coach at UNLV. And I don't know, it's a shame. Like, they play hard. Like, I don't think they should be winless, but it's a results business. I mean, that's what Mike Bobo used to say. You know, it's a results business, and the results have not been there for UNLV. We'll see. I still think they're gonna itch out at least one win. Their total was set at 1.5. I don't know if they're gonna win 2 games. I don't think they'll go winless. We shall see. Really weird year in the Mountain West. Everybody is relatively competitive, even the bad teams, like Wyoming, UNLV, San Jose State's obviously down this year. I still think they'll make a bowl game. Same with Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii's sneaky, and that game on the island is going to be so important for CSU, especially, you know, depending on what happens in these next couple of ones. They're probably going to need that one for a bowl victory. Hawaii, just speaking of the devil, they beat New Mexico State. They had the rare in-season series. They played at New Mexico State and hosted New Mexico State. They might reach a bowl game this year with 2 of their wins coming against the same team. Just kind of a little weird schedule quirk. They are playing better football of late. You can still kind of run all over them. Cortez Davis at cornerback's a stud and is a guy who I really liked at Mountain West Media Days. But they definitely have some holes. Again, you know, it's a game that's challenging on the road. Should be winnable for CSU. We shall see. I think their most winnable games are probably the road ones, with the 3 toughest being the 3 that they have at home. But I mean, you get a chance to control your fate. There's obviously plenty to play for. The border war. You want to beat Air Force for the first time since 2015. You want to beat Boise State for the first time ever. Reach a bowl game. Maybe more. You know, they only have 1 loss in conference play. It's not as if they're completely out of it. Utah State, they host Hawaii. Then they go to New Mexico State. They still have to go to San Jose State. They host Wyoming and at New Mexico. they should be favored in all five of those games, but it wouldn't shock me if they have at least one slip up. If they do, and you know, you go 5-1 down the stretch, or you know, we'll see, or 4-1, excuse me, down the stretch. You never know. You never know, you know, but it all starts with Boise State. They got to find a way. And I feel good, which is weird. I don't know if I've ever felt good going into a CSU Boise State game. It's definitely a weird feeling, but we shall see. Plenty to play for. We'll obviously dive into it throughout the week. Thank you to everybody that continues to support the podcast. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Chevalier Mortgage, DraftKings, Solace Meds, everyone. We will be back. Much love. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.